Hare Krishna. It is my great pleasure to greet everyone on this call. We will immediately go into the subject matter because we are operating in a set time frame. Before I do, please, all of you Vaishnavas, give me your good wishes. It's in your interest so that something nice comes out. All of us, let us please chant one time only the invocating verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rishanam mandale sobhut saptamo ramapujitaha. Translation. Thus Jamadagni, being worshipped by Lord Parushuram, was brought back to life with full remembrance, and he became one of the seven sages in the group of seven stars. Purport. The seven stars revolving around the pole star at the zenith are called Saptarshi Mandala. On these seven stars, which on these seven stars, which form the topmost part of our planetary system, reside seven sages: Kashyapa, Atri, Vashishta, Vishvamitra, Gautama, Jamadagni, and Bharadvaja. These seven stars are seen every night. They each make a complete orbit around the pole star within 24 hours. Along with these seven stars, all the other stars also orbit from east to west. The upper portion of the universe is called the north, and the lower portion is called the south. Even in ordinary dealings, while studying a map, we regard the upper portion of the map as north. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti namine namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Edeshatarine. Everyone who has not done so already, please join me. Jaya Vasri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is a great pleasure for me to join you today on your regular Bhagavatam study. Here in this text we hear how Jamadagni came back to life with full remembrance after Parushuram had done a special worship that would affect this. Very briefly, those who join us today, I would like to give you a little backstory, so to say, to this verse, but only very brief. Jamadagni had been killed by the sons of a great warrior, Kartavir Arjuna, as an act of revenge. Their father had been slain by the son of Jamadagni, who was a divine personality, Parushuram. There was a lot of violent action before. We hear of rivers of blood, lakes of blood, which had been created when Parushuram set into action and was ridding the entire world of the Kshatriyas, who had turned their back to Vedic rules, to Vedic civilization. And so Parushuram, being a divine incarnation, came home one day and saw how his father had been killed as an act of revenge, and he put the body of his father on a kusha grass mat, a long mat, joined the head to the body, pronounced the sacred mantras and performed the rituals, and then Jamadagni came back to life and later assumed his position in the universal order as one of the seven stars. Now, when we hear this, these stories in the Bhagavatam, it sometimes helps to take a bird's eye view on these narrations and extract the wisdom which we can utilize in our life. Ultimately, the Bhagavat Purana is a Purana which aspires to help us progressing in our own spiritual path of bhakti, to see the wisdom in such narrations as this one. We do require to take a bird's eye view or see the meta story that is there. Today I would like to help you to take such a bird's eye view. Sometimes people who hear different sections of the Bhagavatam but don't understand the complete picture will say, when they come to a story like this one, so much violence. Parushuram created rivers of blood when he punished the Kshatriyas for their being so deviant. And we hear of lakes of blood. My God, what, we need peace in this world more than anything. What are these stories really implying? Is it a call to violent action or what? Please consider the teachings where Jamadagni speaks to his son Parushuram. It's in the 9th canto, 15th chapter, verse number 40. And you will see when you listen to this, what is the inherent teaching of the Bhagavatam in this particular pastime. verse 40 tells us, Kshamaya rochate lakshmir brahmishori yata prabha kshaminam ashu bhagavans toshyate harir ishvara. The duty of a brahmana, someone who has come to a spiritual level and is twice born, the duty of such a person is to culture the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is pleased with those who are forgiving, not with those who act out of a spiteful or revengeful spirit when they have been slighted or attacked or harmed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is pleased with those who are forgiving. To help people to forgive, a very, very important lesson is given in our Vaishnav tradition, and that is to cultivate compassion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who fathered Gaudiya Vaishnavism, said that there are only three things you need to be aware of in your daily life. First, cultivate a taste for the chanting of the holy name. Second, approach those who are fellows or companions on the path, the Vaishnavas, the fellow Vaishnavas, as brothers and sisters, and serve them. And finally, act towards all others, which will form the majority of people, in a spirit of daya, or compassion. Forgiveness is one thing that you do for, let us say, on your own, but compassion is the resultant worldview which comes. A person who forgives others should think, now what do I do? How do I relate? And that is the spirit of compassion. Compassion is the next step after forgiving someone. It requires a certain step which you need to do. You need, if you want to be compassionate, and before that forgiving, you need to step from the word I and my needs to the step to the understanding of we and the needs of others. In other words, you need to come from the individuality, human individual view, to the common humanity, and later, even when you're more advanced, to being compassionate to all living beings. My dear listeners, my dear friends, and my dear doubters also, please take note of this. If you want to evolve to a higher level of consciousness, you must leave the egocentric world of aham and mameti. You must enter into the classroom of compassion. What does this mean? You will have to learn to come out of your own comfort zone, where you only care for yourself, and face the discomfort of another, and start to look at life from the point of view of another. Sometimes people say to me, Maharaj, this is not natural. Maharaj, be practical. Maybe you are a good person who practices compassion, but in this world where I have to struggle to make ends meet, I have to take care of myself. And some scientists will say compassion is not natural for the human being. We are programmed to just gather our own needs. Compassion is an impossible call. But is this so? I would like to share with you a very, very interesting research. I'm reading to you from a book which has been given to me by a professor in Oxford, who is a devotee, and he recommended me to read this for this call. There is one scientist, a professor of social psychology in Holland, who expressed how compassion is really inherent in the nature of everyone. He has been for years asking his classroom the same question. He has said, imagine an airplane makes an emergency landing and breaks into three parts. As the cabin fills with smoke, everyone inside realizes this will burn. We will die. We've got to get out of here. And now what happens? First scenario is planet A. On planet A, the passengers turn to their neighbors to ask if they are okay. Those needing assistance are helped out of the plane first. People are willing to give their lives even for perfect strangers. This is planet A. Planet B, everyone who is left to fend for themselves is getting into panic. Panic breaks out. There's lots of pushing and shoving. The children, the elderly, and the people with disabilities get trampled underfoot. Now the question, which planet do you think we live on? Planet A, where everyone takes care of others who are in a crisis, in a compassionate spirit? Or planet B, where everyone fends for themselves and push and shoves their way to somehow get out of this burning plane which will soon explode and kill everyone? So where do we live? I would estimate that around 97% of the people on this call would say, well, of course we live on planet A, and no, planet B, where everyone in a panic situation just gets into the survival mood and only cares for themselves. But the truth is, in almost every case, we live on planet A. Where, this is what the research shows, where people think, how can I help? How can I care? Let me take this baby and run out with this small infant child. And how can I help you? You look old, and so on. This is what the human being is able to do. He is, in the deepest sense, a kind being. Only when we live in a materialistic society where we are trained to think of ourselves and our needs, then we are selfish beings. But when we are thrown into a situation which is, let us say, existential, which is not so materialistic, but where we really come back to what is there in the deepest layers of the self, it turns out we are compassionate. Of course, this existential, let us say, level, this deeper level, let us call it the spiritual level, can only be accessed when someone turns to spiritual practice. Then this quality of forgiveness and then compassionate action, which is illuminating like the sun, comes out. But if, as long as we are covered with the clouds of forgetfulness who we are, then we cannot be compassionate and forgiving, and this way do not please Krishna. I just had today a very nice realization. I was remembering on Saturday we had a very, very nice public program where absolutely total new people came. They were perfect strangers to us. I was seeing a person who after the program came to me, and he looked really not at all sympathetic to me. And the way he talked and what he talked in the beginning was just so absolutely getting, you know, nerve-wracking, I think you say in New York. It was really getting on my nerves. But I decided to come now to into a deeper place, see him as part and parcel of Krishna. I heard him out. I was not getting annoyed by the language and by everything. And I talked to him in a compassionate way, trying to address the fact that also he is a part of Lord Hari. And my dear everyone, it became the best conversation I had on that day. The person asked me afterwards, wow, this is deep, this is necessary. I mean, your tradition seems to be full of wisdom. Can I take courses and learn this? And I told them there are many courses one can take, and so on and so forth. Yes, my dear everyone, when you learn to be forgiving, when you learn to be compassionate, and learn to just look on people from with a spiritual point, a spiritual vision, then, my dear everyone, you will be amazed what comes out of the people. In the Bhagavad Gita, you know, when we make such a lecture, we better make sure that this is in the Gita or in the spiritual scriptures. There is a section which has intrigued the devotees of Krishna for many, many, many centuries. Lord Krishna directs those who want to progress in their life to spiritual masters. He gives us tips how we should approach them. We should be submissive, render service to them, and we should ask them questions. No? So after this, one is supposed, if one looks for truth, to know more. One has to go through the training, and then one gets to a level of higher consciousness. And it's described by Krishna what that consciousness which you get to when you learn properly looks like. He says, let me read this to you in Krishna's words. Yajñātvana punar moham evam yasyasi pandava yena bhutan yasheshani draksyatman yatomai. Krishna now says what happens when you have learned the truth. You can all now go into your own heart and you can see, have I learned something? How good am I doing? having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. When you open the door to your apartment and go through the crowded streets of Manhattan or New York or Boston, or if you live outside like our Yashoda Dulal Prabhu and you go into the forest and you see deers and birds twittering, remember, all living entities are not what they look like in a dress of feathers or fur or New York stylish cloth. No, they all are parts of Krishna, eternal souls, just like you. And when you look with this vision of interconnectedness, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, we are one family of our Lord Hari is the father and the mother of all, then very easily you will be able to have a fixed intelligence and mind and be able to be forgiving and compassionate to others. Lord Krishna speaks about this in the Gita again. He says, one who is, expresses this in a negative way, one who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Most of the suffering in this life we get from other human beings or other living entities. This will stop the suffering if you become able to see all of them as parts of God, and if you act towards them like this, the world or the people will reflect like a mirror only the best ways. I think in New York we have this program Food for Life, where we give food to the homeless, and I encourage all of you on this call to make a practical exercise in compassionate work and dish out the preparations to the homeless. What you will see is something which you may already gather from listening to this lecture. You will see how the homeless people, who can be sometimes quite, let us say, difficult to deal with, will be so friendly. They will go into their pocket and give you a coin and say, for your purpose, you know, they will embrace you, they will be good people, because this teaching of forgiveness and compassion, which Yamadagni gives to Parashuram, is a very important teaching that will enable you and help you to come on the spiritual platform where you see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. And once you act on that platform, so much blessings will come back. First and foremost, please consider this, the blessings of Lord Hari will be there. I'm again reaching out to the Bhagavatam, this amazing verse is, which I read to you. This is Jamadagni's teachings to his son, level 15. It's 9:15:40. Let me get this right for you. Krishna. Here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, himself is pleased with those who are forgiving. remember, for forgiving, compassionate acts, where you are willing to look through the eyes of another, are very good. We have 3 more minutes, and I would like to make a little exercise with all of you. An exercise to train you a little bit in the idea of forgiveness and compassion. Find a good place where you can be, you're already sitting. What I mean to say is, sit straight. Please put the other work which you may be doing for this for a short time to the side. Take a few deep breaths. And as you breathe in to your heart area. Think of a person to whom you wish to be compassionate. It could be a child. It could be a friend. If you're married, it could be your partner. Let an image of just the person arise whom you want to forgive and be compassionate towards. Okay, tell yourself now, just like me, this person or these persons is seeking happiness. Just like me, this person is trying to avoid suffering. Just like me, this person has known sadness, loneliness, and despair at times. Just like me, this person is trying to fulfill his or her needs. And just like me, this person is learning about life. Take a few deep breaths and come back to room awareness. I thank you very much for participating. Yes, we have heard in this Bhagavatam a story of violent action, of resurrecting a dead man to the living. But let us see the teaching of one of the main characters in this story, Jamadagni. who is also the hero of our verse. Let us reflect on his main teachings. He says, by forgiveness and later compassionate action, that is what I would like to add here, the Supreme Lord Hari is pleased. Good. I thank you very much. I'm only 2 minutes over time. This is a scandal for me, a new experience. We have a little time for questions and answers. As far as I remember, 15 minutes. Is that true, Yashoda Dulal Prabhu?
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes if you have time, Maharaj.
Yes. Good. So how do we do this? Are the questions read to... Adi Prabhu, I'm seeing you. Hare Krishna. Will you read the questions to me like always, Yashoda Dulal Prabhu?
No, people can ask questions
directly,
or comment or reflections. So if anyone wants to leave, if anyone has to leave early for work because of time and so on, maybe they can go first, and we request people to be concise so that we can accommodate more questions. Thank you. Adi Purush Prabhu, did you want to say something?
Yeah, we have to go for the Prashadam to see the vehicle. But Marsh, such a wonderful class. What comes across is not just what you say, but the fact that you have such a wonderful, loving heart, and your joy, Prabhupada's grace and love flowing through you. It's just so wonderful. We're basking in the radiance of your smile there. We remember that Prabhupada told us that underneath everything, everybody loves everybody. You know, that's normal. Like he was saying, that's the planet we live on, and what we are actually loving beings. And sometimes, like in this story, somebody does something harsh, aggressive, hateful to us, you know. It might be difficult to forgive, but Krishna is so wonderful that he, and Prabhupada is explaining to us, that when somebody does something aggressive, that they're going to suffer. Either because of their neglect or because of their, you know, outwardly aggressive action, suffering is going to come to them. So when we remember that, it's a little more easy to be compassionate. We feel sorry for them because if he's doing this to me, well, Jesus is a classic example. He has been beaten, he has been crucified, and he says in his last few words, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Right? So, thank you so much. Oh, glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Wonderful is Krishna.
Thank you. And you are really practicing this by going out into Tompkinson Square Park and giving people the prasadam. It really, this... you begin to understand the deeper dimensions of compassion when you do according to your capability what is possible for you right now. Act on this Jiva Daya principle. I'm addressing everyone else, not you, Adi Purusha. Then see what you can do. Thank you. Is there another person? Mm-hmm.
Normally we have a lot of questions. People are shy today, maybe?
I speak so much German in my English that maybe they don't understand. Yes.
All right. Angel has a question.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Angel.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the beautiful exercise and the music. It really... I was curious to know if you can, if there is any way you can share that so that I can play it when I meditate in the morning.
Oh yeah,
well. But, I'm sorry.
The music is a simple machine. It's called a Ragini. You can, yeah, you can with double A. You can get it in your iPhones. There are. Ragini programs, you can choose the pitch. Yes, it calms the mind very much, and maybe you have seen that happening in your exercise. when the mind is upset and in turmoil, it is more difficult to access this deeper place. In Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada spoke about this once. He said the mind can be compared really like a pond. He said when something has fallen into the pond, the mud is whirled up and you can't see very clearly where the item which has fallen into the pond is at this moment. So then wait until the mud settles down, then you can identify the item and pick it up very easily. So very often in our life, when especially when challenging situations happen, our mind gets so much upset, so much mud, so to say, is whirling around in the mind, and we cannot access these deeper qualities like forgiveness and quality and compassion. We are thinking with a muddy mind and so on. So sometimes we need to maybe wait for some time until it settles, and then the clarity is there and we can access these deeper qualities. In other words, I always recommend people, when something happens to them, they should use the emotional traffic light. Red means stop, don't immediately respond or react. Then you should go to yellow, that is wait, what is a better way to act, and then only go on green, that means go forward. Good. Any other questions? Thank you, Angel. You have a wonderful name, by the way.
I do have a question, though, in regards to the person that came back to life. I apologize. I don't mean to offend anything, but or any of the literature or the names. So my apologies if I offend any. But the one that was killed, was he? Did he go to green? Did he forgive? Or was he, did Srila Prabhupada describe, I don't know, explained if he was angry, or how did he rise, awaken from that?
Yeah.
What was it?
What a wonderful question. Yes, what was with him? His name is Jamadagni. He is a great saint. When these people with murderous intent had actually, they had decapitated him, and later he came back to life because of the action of his son, who knew the right rituals. Yes, then he had full remembrance of what had happened. He had not, his brain and nothing was damaged, and he later became a he was already an accomplished saint, but he later, that's what the text tells us, became a saint who oversaw a whole planet, which is, you can see his planet when you look up in the night sky and you see a particular planet for which he is in charge. He really is, and he is a self-realized soul. And he himself was the one who gave this teaching of compassion. There had been a violent conflict before he was killed. Before Jamadagni had been killed, he had been already once attacked. The king had come and had stolen this only cow, a Kamadhenu cow, and the cow didn't wish to go. It was screaming in agony, was led violently back and violently away. And he had then given this teaching to his son: we should practice forgiveness and compassion. In other words, before this heavy situation which we hear in today's verse has happened, he had already talked about forgiveness and compassion. Yes, he was able to do it. He was self-realized soul. He is a great personality. Thank you, Angel. Thank you. You will learn so many things from the Bhagavatam. You won't believe. You will be so empowered. Please keep on watching this broadcast and tell your friends about it. There is a lot of treasure in this ancient wisdom. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Angel. Before we go, that was a great segue. Tomorrow we have Sri Prahlad Prabhu on this channel giving the Bhagavatam class, same time. And day after, Shamananda Prabhu from Chaupati. There's a couple of questions in the chat, and Balkrishna Prabhu has his hand up. Balkrishna Prabhu, do you want to ask?
Sure. Thank you, Shilaji. Balkrishna Maharaj.
Balkrishna, nice to see you. Here, you are in the left corner. Hari Bol, nice to see you.
Balkrishna Maharaj, thank you. Maharaj, my question is, while going through the meditation, the compassion exercise, I can see that the other person needs compassion. But within my heart, if I'm not able to fully forgive them and still act out of compassion, so a part of me is saying, like, you are being a fake by not, like, being able to fully forgive the person but still acting compassionately. So how do I reconcile that? Because that has, if there is some genuine mistake that has happened, that would be karmic. But how do I as a human deal with that?
Yes, very thoughtful your question. I understand. You may act compassionately, give them a helping hand in a situation it's required, but in your heart you have not really forgiven, and then you might say you're a fake. It's only a fake, an apparent compassion that act. Did I understand you correctly? Yes?
Yes.
Good. Good, Balkrishna. There's one thing which always works to come to a deeper place where you can actually forgive. It is when you look through the eyes of another. At that time, you will see things from a different perspective. I would like to give you an answer. Many times people, couples, give me their child to hold so that we can make a photo together, the couple and me holding their child. And the child is often not happy with me. It turns around, it does not really want to stay with me, it wants to go to the mother. And when I first was put into the situation, I thought, oh no, this child is this monster child. Why doesn't he recognize that I'm a practicing Vaishnava? And that I mean well, why is he becoming so disturbed about me? And so on. So when I looked from my point of view, I thought, this bad child. Now, since many years, I've learned to look, to go with my perception into the perception of the child. And all of a sudden it makes perfect sense why the child is so disturbed and upset. Because he doesn't know me. It's the first time he sees me. He doesn't know all this. He cannot go on web page and Google and see if I have a good output or a bad output in the internet. The child only sees here. There's a stranger. I've never seen him. And the natural protective instinct comes up. It's a survival instinct. Strangers we don't know. And at least in Germany, we children always learn from our parents, never go with a stranger, you know. So that is what is going on in the child. And then, of course, you look differently. As long as you look and judge a situation from your point of view, your perspective, you have one picture. But if you learn to look from the perspective of another, you get another picture. And when you deal with another person, you have to take into account what that person perceives, what he sees, and so on. So I think when you have to forgive, I will tell you now, because you're an intellectual, look through the eyes of another and you will see the data, the information that control their action, their perception and everything else. And all of a sudden it makes sense. You may choose to not be too, so close to this person because your personalities may not work and combine very harmoniously. There may be no good, the chemistry may not work, but you can still see the other. Try to see like a doctor who sees what is going on for the patient and then tries to help with that perspective. But maybe choose for some time. Sometimes relationships need also a little distance so that they can heal like this. Thank you for your question, Krishna. And it was a pleasure to see you after this long restriction. And one thing I want to share with you. Next year I'm planning to visit the town of New York. I'm feeling a great sense of separation from New York. Hare Krishna.
That's the best news, Maharaj. We're feeling a great sense of separation from you. A couple more questions, if that's okay, Maharaj?
Yes.
Okay. So Himangi Devi writes, I was trying to study her question. I think she's asking, is there a limit to how many times we can forgive? Because forgiving someone can encourage them to keep making the same mistake. So can you guide us in such a situation?
Wonderful. You are asking a very important question. First of all, try to see them spiritually. That's very important. As we have learned from the Gita, they are part of Krishna. They belong to Krishna. Krishna says, they are mine. But after that, I would like to call this a new realism, seeing them from the spiritual point of view. After that, you have to also act on the practical level. And that is, you have to see, maybe the person is bound to you in a karmic situation that he cannot do anything else but act in a disturbing way towards you. And at that time, it is good to go into the distance. Forgiving, yes, but forgetting, no, you have to stay realistic, because you will increase his suffering and your suffering When this is like a karmic lock, you know, and it, no, you cannot get out of it. Thank you, Hemangi.
And the last question is from Venkatesh Prabhu. He says...
Oh yeah, Venkatesh. Where is Venkatesh? Please let me see him, if possible. At the moment, maybe not possible technically. Let us.
Maybe he's on your next screen, Maharaj.
Yeah. Yeah, Venkatesh, yes. There, I just saw him. Here, I can see. Yes, Venkatesh. Yes, please ask your question.
Do you want me to ask, or did you...
Or as it is practical, as it is practical. I think you said you will ask, so maybe it's faster.
So Venkatesh Prabhu says, is it that one must have received deep love and compassion from a saintly person before it can be shared with others?
When you, this is certainly a very good approach. We always say you can only give love when you have love, or when you have received love. It is seen, there's a good research out, that in neighborhoods where people are helping each other, this spirit of compassion spreads also to the newcomers to the neighborhood. I had the fortune to grow up in a town, small town on an island, where I really was amazed. Neighbors would really help each other in all time, like when some household had no potatoes and wanted to cook potatoes, they would go to the neighboring household and they would get the potatoes from the neighbor if they were available, or if there was some help necessary in the garden maybe, or in the house which someone could not do themselves, neighbors were there to help. You will be surprised, this neighborhood in which we grew up was a poor neighborhood. Poor people who are financially not well-to-do are helping more than the poor rich people. I'm saying poor in character because they are so much into me, 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 mine and mine and mine that it is unnatural for them. You can't even sometimes get to them when you ring at their door and then want to give, and you need a bag of potatoes because you have guests and you want to cook goranga potatoes for them, the rich people might send you off and say, no, this is not done in our culture. But I grew up in such a culture, and Venkatesh, people would, you know, the community or town grew and people moved there, and they would automatically learn these good qualities because compassion is infectious. Kindness is infectious. When you see another person doing this, you feel, wow, I should also do it like this. It is infectious because it's more natural. So this was our last question. It was a general pleasure for me to address you. I just would like to now leave this call and just speak to Yashoda Dulal and Ananda Bihari. How will we do this? My experience is the best is you give me another Zoom. Please, Yashoda, you know everything. Yes. You tell us.
I'll send you a Zoom invite, Maharaj.
Yeah.
And Anand Bihari also.
Maybe Gopal, just keep everybody on the back in the waiting room. I can do that.
Oh, you can do that. Okay. So you don't have to log off. But Madan Gopal Prabhu had a comment or a question. Madan Gopal Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Madan Gopal, yes, I see you at Manasi Ganga.
Thank you. It's so nice to see you after so long. And this is the best news of the whole year so far, that you're making plans to come to visit us part of the world again. And we are all very eager to see you and serve you. It's been so long. It's been 2 years since we didn't see you in Sadhu Sangha. And we'll be able to feel your presence. And of course, today's class was really wonderful and compassion. And hopefully we can implement some of that in our lives. So looking forward to seeing you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hare
Thank
Krishna. All right, then I say goodbye to everyone else.